Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. While they're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sound. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. People gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'll be your host, Reginald Camper. This is an open mic forum. Anything you'd like to talk about, you're welcome to it. Hopefully we might have a candidate that's running for business manager calling in, and maybe we can ask him his platform and what he thinks. I go by the first three of your phone numbers if you're a new caller. I do not say your name, but if you'd like to say your name, you're more welcome to say it. I usually leave people mics open, so let's not step on each other and let everybody have an opinion. So I'm going to open the show up right now. I'm going to open everybody's mic up so everybody can have a chance to speak. And I call your first three numbers. That's your name. Your first three is your name. So let's start off with Pat. I want to say welcome to the show. He's a regular caller. Welcome, Pat.
Hello, Reg. Hello, everybody.
All right. So let's go to another caller. Your first three. That's what I go by. Let's go to 936.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Tina Butler, the former sergeant in arms of Chicago City Council. How's everybody tonight?
Welcome to the show. Let's go to another caller. 865. 865, welcome to the show. 865. Welcome to the show, 865. Anytime you want to say something, you're more welcome to say it. I don't use nobody's names. I use the first three. If you like to say your name, that's up to you. So we're going to start an open forum discussion. I'll give us a couple topics if anybody want to jump on it. And then I usually have an update with Pasquale on the retirees. It's election time around the corner. So now 1001 is starting to attack the war yards, and they're giving out Christmas gifts in February. And your Christmas gift is a bag. So in February, now they have your Christmas gift, a book bag. All the bags that we carry on the truck, guess what? You get another bag. So I hope everybody don't fall for the okey-doke. It's the presents. And I hope the presents can help out the past more. We need more people to support the retirees because there's rumors that we're going to 35 hours, and there's rumors that if they go to 35 hours, we lose our health care. So we got to help each other. So I'm going to go to the forum and ask Pasquale update, but before I do it, we got a new caller, and it's an open forum. I go by your first three, and I'm going to keep your mic open. If it's loud, I will put you on mute, but I'll check with you every now and then. So let's go to 516. Welcome to the show. Okay, 516.
What up? Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody.
Okay, so
how y'all doing?
I'm going to throw Dan on the mic. And then we're going to go to Pasquale for an update. Let's go to Dan. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me. How's everything?
Everything's looking good. You know what goes on here, so I don't have to fill you in. We're going to go to Pasquale first for an update on the retirees or fill us in on anything, and then we can go to an open forum discussion. So any new news, Pasquale?
Well, Reg, on the health care, like I said, we're about 95% dead in the water. But I do want to announce this about a couple of hours ago. City Bricklayer was working in a new sewer. It caved in on him. Within the last half hour, he passed away. They're not running it with the media. The paper can't run it because he hasn't been cleared by the medical examiner's office yet. But this is a good source, and this is what I'm told.
Well, sorry to hear that. We send our condolences for one of our brothers in our. The way I usually do it, I go up and down the board to give everybody a chance. That if you have a discussion or something you want to say, you're more welcome to say it. For the people that I know that's still working, it's a lot going on that you need to talk about. The 2.0 grid system is now here that don't work. The fitness for duty, that they tell laborers they got to take a fitness for duty test. If you want to talk about it, you're more welcome. It's a lot of issues that's going on. You're more welcome to talk about it. Don't be scared. I don't say your name unless you allow me to. So let's go to 936. Anything you'd like to talk about today?
Well, most of all, the two murders of those two little girls. We're so far behind in police officers, and now they were firing the streets, asking people to apply, and so forth and so on. But those two little girls, 8 and 11, and their rape condition, one will be paralyzed for the rest of her life because it suffered a spinal cord. And I don't know what's left to do because the governor is the only one that can call in the National Guard. I think President Trump should call Governor Rauner and tell King Rauner to order the National, ask for a National Guard. Your people call my people. You ask for this, and I'll give it to you. Because summer's coming. It's going to be so bad. It's bad enough already, and we haven't even gone into the second month of the year. And we need help. The trainees are not going to be ready to go out in the streets in Englewood and Chatham and all those areas. They're not going to be ready. And the ones that have seniority can go pick and choose, or they used to be that way, where they, you know, in the districts they wanted. So you're going to have new trainees out there with FTOs that are skilled, but we don't have enough of them. And now we got two more little girls, and I'm sending their prayers out to the families. And the grandmother's only got one, that's her only grandchild. And I would die if something happened to one of my grandkids.
Well said. Well said. And the one. Hold on,
can I jump
go to you?
For a minute?
That's 516.
This is
well, go
Pat.
Ahead.
The girls were 11 and 12. I don't know if you're aware of it. One is Andrew Holmes' cousin. The latest update I got was, I think it was at 12:30. The 12-year-old, her heart stopped 3 times. Like Tina says, her spine's been severed. If she does survive, she will be partially brain dead and paralyzed. Mr. Holmes' cousin, she's in bad shape. She has no brain wave. That's about it, Judge.
Wow, it's sad. It's very sad. 516, you wanted to say something? Okay, let's go to another caller. 865, would you like to say anything?
I heard that Rahm Emanuel, our illustrious mayor, is traveling to Washington, D.C. to talk to President Trump. And I would beg to ask everybody to go to whitehouse.gov and email the president and just give him an idea of what's going on in this city. And, you know, the only way that we're going to do anything about this is to actually take the time to do something. And that doesn't take really that much time to do. Just write a little bit, and I guess say you shouldn't even see this idiot. That's what I got to say.
Okay, well said. And, you know, remember the site he gave you for anybody who wants to, you know, to take up that task. Let's go to Dan, 569.
Okay, Reg, what's our subject today?
It's an open subject. Mostly I'm keeping Barry aware that we do have a union election coming. There's rumors that retirees will be, not retirees, the current will be going to $35 an hour, we're going 35 man hours a week. And if they do that, we're going to lose our health care. Now, a person that told me works downtown, he said the union's negotiating as we speak. I'm hoping that Paul Reed calls in today because he said he was going to call in, and we can ask him what's his agenda and where he stands. But right now, it's an open forum. We were talking about the two young ladies that got shot, the two young girls that got shot. So basically, it's open, whatever. I know you attended the Alderman meeting, so if you want to talk about that, you're more welcome. And we know Joe. I'll come to you next, Joe.
As Pat puts on the site, there's shootings every single day, and there's not much being done about it. So if the work week goes down to 35 hours, that harkens back to 2008 to 2010 when Mayor Daley negotiated with our union leadership to go to 35-hour work week, which resulted in 20 furlough days in a two-year period. And during that period, we received no holiday pay and no overtime pay. It was comp time. So is this our illustrious union with Nikki Hayes spending $850 on some kind of her personal charity, $5,000 on golf outings, and $100,000 on Christmas parties? I just hope laborers and retirees, if they're still in the union, wake up and vote these clowns out June 1st.
Now, I want to give you an update, Dan. Joe, you're right next. Today, you had everyone in 1001 office, including Bob Cinelli, the really lead office. They all handing out Christmas bags in February. It's nothing but a tactic to saying we are trying to run for an election on your time. And I just hope the members wake up. Here it is. They've been in office 4 years. Ask yourself, how did 1001 make my life better? We got a 2.0 grid system that they constantly writing people up. They sign a fitness for duty. How did this make my life better? So I'm going to go to Joe. And after I go to Joe, I'm going to go up and down the board. Everybody, mic is open. So if you want to say something, just throw your name or your number out, and we'll give you the floor. It's an open forum because I believe in brainstorming. We got to find a solution to our problems. So we're going to go to Joe. Joe, welcome to the show, and your mic is open.
How you doing, Reg? Hello, everybody. I have two questions about that health care and 35 hours a week. This is a rumor going around currently?
It's a rumor going around from a person that I know that works downtown that said the union's been doing a negotiation. It's like a pre-negotiation, and that was one of the things that Rahm Emanuel wanted. And if he gets it, the person told me, you guys lose your insurance. You won't be eligible for insurance.
Really?
Because you'd be considered part-time.
It's an interesting subject to bring up at our union meeting. Maybe a lot of drivers should show up at that meeting also.
I think the more warm-blooded bodies with the pulse that have anything or had anything to do with 1001, that they pay their dues, that $60 so they can vote, then they can go and vote. And there's people out there that think that Rahm Emanuel made a deal with Trump. The only deal he made with Trump is when he came to Chicago, he took all the street signs down, disrespected the guy in every single way he could, and then he won because he was standing there when the smoke cleared and all the rest of the candidates fell. And there's Donald Trump standing there, and Rahm Emanuel went to him with a letter signed by 15 other mayors asking to keep the sanctuary city status. he's more worried about people coming in the city and taking sanctuary here and not having any consequences than he is with the people that worked years, that retired, and he's screwing them and he's bragging about it. So somebody, if he got invited to the White House, they must have invited somebody else to go with them, because I guess Donald Trump, the way he presented himself during the campaign, if that's the way he really is, he's going to stick it right up, you know where, on Ram.
No,
because
I'm going to say this.
We're on his radar already. Go ahead, Reg.
Well,
I
believe that there is, to me, Ron is running Chicago as a business, like Trump is going to try to run the United States. And I'm going to play a clip after I go to a new caller. I want you to hear how close 1001 is to Ron Emanuel. So if Ron Emanuel and them get up under Trump, we basically got the same purple coat. It's not a red or blue, it's purple. So I'm going to go to a new caller, and then I'm going to go up. And remember, everybody, your phone is open, so if you want to say something, you're more welcome. Let's try not to step on each other, give each other courtesy, and this way we can all articulate our views together. I go by your first three numbers. That's all I do. I go by your first three numbers. If you like to say your name, you're more welcome to say it. If anybody listens to this on social media, the number to the show is 602-753-3017. It's a total free number. I'll repeat it. 602-753-3017. It's an open forum. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome. If you want to talk about the grid system, call 2.0. If you want to talk about recycling, that sanitation workers are still dumping. If you want to talk about all the curb and gutters, guys, it's really getting their work privatized as well as forestry. So it's an open forum, anything you'd like to talk about. The first three is your name, unless you say your name. So welcome to the show, 220.
Good evening, Reggie. How you doing? I had a comment.
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
Insurance.
Anything you'd like to say, you're more welcome to say it. It's
I
an
had
open
a comment
forum.
About the insurance.
Go ahead.
About the insurance. In 2009, when we was first taking the furlough days, the union where I will be able was Louie then, and the union promised to come up with an alternative health insurance plan in case the city decided to cut the plan. What plan have they come up with?
When I was sitting on the e-board, I made a motion for everybody to get out the wellness program and get a – I didn't even want a retro pay. I said, everybody get out the health – the wellness program and let's get our money back, because IG's reported they couldn't find the money. So we lost that 5-2. It was only two people that voted on my side. It was me, Frank Arullo. The rest of the five, Victor, James, Bobby, Tasha, and it was five. The other five e-board members. My point to this is Bobby made a statement that the reason they signed it because everybody was going to go $300 up on your insurance. But that still didn't make sense to me, because if you marry, you're paying $100 every 2 weeks. That's $2,200 a year. So it still didn't make sense. So actually, it was a con game. And the question is, who benefited from it? So that's a question that we have to, as retirees and as the current, we have to go to the union meeting and stand up on the floor and make them say it on record. So it's a beautiful question, but we got to get you guys and we got to get the currents out. So everybody, mic is open. Dan, your mic is open. Excuse me?
Being retired, we were talking about the health insurance, and the young man was talking about the rumors. Being a retired person, I've heard the same thing, and I no longer work, but I have heard that they were going to try to roll back your hours so they don't have to pay your health insurance. You be paying just like I'm paying.
Well, I got my information from somebody that worked in City Hall, and they was upset about it. They wanted me to leak it on the show, but I challenged that person to come on the show. Come on the show and explain what they negotiate. If you're sitting listening, like the movie, The Spook That Sat Next to the Door, if you're sitting next to the door, tell everybody what you are hearing. Keeping it a secret don't benefit nobody. So everybody, mic is open. If you want to get in, jump in. Dan, you got anything you'd like to say?
No, it just sounds like it's getting worse here with these negotiations if these rumors turn out to be true. Because if you work under 40 hours, technically, I guess the city doesn't have to offer you insurance. They did from 08 to 010, but that was under a different administration. And this guy wants to cut. He wants to privatize sanitation in the worst way. So I hope it doesn't happen.
Now, Dan, you remember as well as Joe. Dan, remember, we went an hour and a half one time comp time. So it'll be the same kind of program. Take an hour a day from us, and then that'll drop us to 35 hours. Somebody want the floor?
Hey, Reg.
Go ahead.
Privatization, as we know, doesn't benefit anybody except the owner of that company because they extract the dollars, they reduce the wages, and what we create is what's been created in this country. And Rahm Emanuel is not a Democrat. He's a Republican wolf clothing.
Sheep's clothing.
At any meanings. He's a ganav. A ganav is Yiddish for thief. And that's all he's been since he's been here. He has done nothing for the 99%, everything for the 1%. He has brought no jobs than the neighborhoods that need jobs. But yet he's proud to say how he's brought Boeing, Miller Coors, all the top executives to the downtown area and bringing these people, the big money people, to this city. But yet he has done nothing for the 99%. And the people still voted him in on lies on the last election. People have to wake up.
Not only that. Go ahead, Joe.
When the next election occurs, he's going to be saying how he's sorry. He's going to wear a sweater. He's going to say how things will get much better. He's an abuser. And unfortunately, people go back to their abusers. And that's the problem with voters. Here's your abuser. He promises to be better. He promises to change. Everything will be better. But yet, the abuser is still going to be there. It's time to rid ourselves of the abuser.
That's the perfect analogy, an abuser. The victim always goes back to the abuser. 2019 is right around the corner. You got to get a strong candidate. 39% turnout of registered voters in the history never happened in a general election. Never 39%. He got 54% of 39%. That's not a mandate.
Nope.
That's insulting. It's insulting to the people that talked a bunch of crap and sat on their ass at home and didn't go to vote for anybody because they didn't like anybody. Well, you know what? Pick the person that's got the resume. Look at the resume. Bet them. Make sure 2019 is right around the corner. And any idiot that can get signed petitions, and they're good petitions, can get on the ballot. So what do? We put dogs up, and then they expect us to be the dog catcher. He's going to get his sweater like Mr. Rogers, get on TV. I got a word for that. Forget about it. That's what he's full of crap, and he'll never be. He's a D.C. Democrat. He came out of D.C., knows nothing about Chicago, doesn't care about Chicago, never did anything for Chicago when he was a congressman. And now you got Trump up there inviting him to the White House. Let me tell you something. I think that the only reason that he's getting invited is because of his brother, Ari, that's the big Hollywood agent. I don't believe any of this BS that they got deals going and they got this and that going because Trump didn't need anybody. Didn't need anybody. His own party rejected him. They all rejected him. And now it's time. Payback is a bitch.
And he don't.
I totally agree.
You're right. So he don't have to give nobody shit. Okay, basically it boils down to us against them.
but it ain't enough of us that don't woke up enough to be starving to death enough to get it, that if us don't get our shit together, we all be starving to death. It don't matter what color you are, what nationality you are, we need to get ourselves together as a people against our wealthy.
I heard that.
I'm not saying all rich people, but you got people that they really don't give a shit about us. They don't care if we starve to death. They really don't. They feed their dog more better than I eat. You know what I'm saying? So they don't. People
That's
don't need
fact.
To wake up. It's us against them. And you can be. You know how many times I voted for people that I didn't like, but it was for the greater good. Okay. And people get disgusted. They give up. They don't want to vote no more. And then all they want to do is cry about what happened to them. And 10 people
yeah,
can't hold back
right.
all the water that's coming. It ain't enough of us to hold back what's coming. Okay, and other people won't wake up. It's frustrating. It's this weekend, I'm watching the news, and I see about this little girl that get killed. I used to live in that neighborhood. My son is 25. I'm still scared for him to go outside. You know, he got to call me every 10 minutes. If I call him, he don't answer his phone, I go into a panic. I feel for mothers. I haven't lost anything, but every time a mother loses a child, in this, it just devastates me. Okay, we got our mayor, he talking about with the cat in the hat. Okay, something that's completely different. Ain't got nothing to do with what's going on.
We don't have
enough police officers. We need to read between the lines, too, on this illegal aliens. All right, they bunched everybody together. I'm for immigrants as long as they're here legally. I am not
right.
here. I don't condone the illegal ones because they take from everybody. Now, if you remember a few years back, an alderman's father was producing fake documentation to the illegal aliens. I'm not blaming
That's
the alderman because
right.
I had no idea if he had anything to do with it, but his father was producing these documents. They have bogus Social Security numbers and cards.
I remember.
This is all leading to one come vote time. Who is going to watch these people? Who are they going to vote for? It came out today that there's 2.5 million illegal aliens in New York, L.A., and Chicago. So if you break it down, say it's 3 million because they probably don't even know for sure how many. It gives a million in each city. What do you think this guy is kissing their ass for? He doesn't have the black vote he used to have because everybody's getting so pissed off with the murders. You know, you watch the goddamn media. The media does not show the whole interview. A little while back, we had a killing on Division. We had a YouTube reporter out there talking to, I forgot her name, Mama something they called her on Division Street.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling the reporter how terrible life was there and how everybody is scared. And you know what? An NBC interviewed her, ABC interviewed her, and that was all cut out. They didn't show that shit. But on the YouTube interview, they showed it. Now, I'm sure when they talked to these people mentioned that Rahm Emanuel is no fucking good, and their kids are dying left and right. I'm positive mm-hmm. of it. And they're mm-hmm. probably telling their preachers, hey, you know what? Stop the bullshit, too. Enough is enough. Look at Queen's sister running after Father Judas Priest there. He wouldn't answer her, and he gave her a bullshit reason. She kept on asking him, where's the money? Where's the money? Oh, there's no money. Yeah, look at the church. He's got all hand-carved wood in there. I mean, everything is top-notch in there. I mean, what kind of bullshit is this? These illegal aliens are being catered to by the vote whore to get their goddamn votes.
And not only that,
Amen.
It's a big business to cut your job salary half in two. Because you know, see what people illegal don't understand is we worked for little wages in the 20s and the 30s, and that's why unions were formed. Because companies work you 7 days a week. They didn't give you shit. They worked little children. Okay, so we're not grateful for jobs that make $8 an hour because we've been there. Okay, we know these companies have more than enough money to pay. What do you need to take home $250 million a year? And the person that's working for you making $2, starving to death. But that's the attitude.
I totally agree.
Okay. Nobody sees anything wrong with
that. That's right.
Okay. Nobody sees nothing wrong with that. Okay. And then you want me to let you come here, and I'm already getting cut to $8. Now you want me to cut to $4. Well, I don't live with 10 people in my house. Okay. I had that time. I had my grandparents live like that. My great-grandparents lived in groups, but they worked so I can have a better life. And I feel like right now in this country, everybody is cutting my life apart. Okay, people grab I don't have no peace because if I hear you could be in your bed. The girl was in a car. She wasn't doing anything wrong, just sitting in a car, you know. And now she's dead. I'm looking at pictures of myself at 11 and 12 years old. That all I could think of was I'll be glad when I can do my own hair or what cartoon or what movie I'm going to go to. Okay, you know. Not a bullet in my head. Not even if she survives, she's screwed the rest of her life. You know what I'm saying? And nobody's saying anything. Everybody act like it's okay. It's, you know, until your kid gets shot, it ain't a big deal.
Hey, Brenda,
you know, that's
our American dream, according to Rahm Emanuel. The illegals have an American dream. We ain't shit. We don't have an American dream. Our American dream is to see our children die in our fucking streets.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
and pay
and
your
rent on
your house taxes.
Yeah, my grandson is real obviously Hispanic. His mother got killed by a drunk driver. His father got killed before he was born. We raised him. He's 26 years old. He works a good job. But he's very obviously Hispanic. And he has been stopped driving while Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's we call it DWH. Driving while, and there is no, and they don't understand that we are lumped together. For the U.S. Census created the term Latinos, Hispanics, whatever, because the Mexican people don't like the Puerto Rican people. The Puerto Rican people don't like it. It's that we're cliques in between, and I can say it because I'm half Puerto Rican. I can say we ain't going to be sitting around a campfire the day after the damn election singing Kumbaya, okay? It ain't happening because there's too much need in the Mexican community. There's too much need in Humboldt Park and those areas in the Puerto Rican community. Where do you get the money to what are you going to do, throw all the money there so you can get and to people that come here that we give them sanctuary. That's more important to give them sanctuary than to give us what we've worked for all these years. I don't think
Where's our sanctuary?
We don't have any sanctuary. We don't have one. And everybody has sold out.
I totally agree.
Sold out.
Everybody.
And you know what? On that note of sold out, I wanted to play this clip. I played it last week. A buddy of mine wanted me to play it again. He didn't hear it. And it's on YouTube. And the name of it is 1001 Rally for Rahm. That's the name of the video. It's only 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So give me a second. And it's real quick. And then we can talk about this and keep the conversation going.
We have a lot of fears about privatization. About the desolation of labor. The mayor won. I remember standing outside and I was thinking about all the foreclosures. All the people in my local, I had 1,700 members that lived on the south and the west and the north side of Chicago. Those homes were going to be foreclosures because of privatization. Then we were faced with managed competition. And we went to our people, laborers, and we challenged them as the mayor had challenged us. And nobody said we could do it. But we beat back privatization, y'all. We beat them back. Project members of mine are local, is largely minority. Over 50% black. And we went to work. We worked with the mayor. And we started getting new projects. We started recapturing work from privates. We started bidding on new work that they had. We became competitive. We started getting the work. The mayor began to trust us. And we've been getting the work ever since.
Nice.
Is not good enough. That we need to go in another direction. Well, we got 28 cranes around Chicago.
Yeah.
My local that has 1,700 people is now over 2,000.
Yeah.
Everywhere we look, there's been improvement. Is there much to do? Yes, there's much to do. We got all kinds of issues. We got pension issues. We just got issues. But there's not a candidate that I saw five candidates. And I saw all four of them talk about what the mayor did or what he should have done or what he shouldn't have done. But they never told us what they would do or what they could have done or what they're going to do. We got a plan. We got direction. Pension problems, yes, he didn't create it. Mayor attempted to solve it so we can have pensions. And said, oh, that's wrong. It's not wrong. He didn't create it. He tried to get it to work it up so I can have a pension and you can have a pension and we can keep this beautiful place called Chicago.
Nice!
I played that for a reason. This is
wow.
The guy that was never elected as business manager. He was appointed through Ron Robson to quit. This is a guy that just used racism as 50%. So he's in his mind, he's entitled to be the business manager. This is a guy that told the members that we have an opinion, but we never have an opinion. This is a guy on the video, Ron Emanuel in the back, smelling like he stole a big block of cheese, and he run into the slaughterhouse. And our money that they take out of our checks go to the funds that Great Lakes International donating $100,000 to Ron Emanuel for his election. Now, on the 7th, this year, after the election, you have your contract. After the contract, you have another election for Ron Emanuel in 19. So wake up, city workers, wake up, and let's see what's going on. I played it for a reason, and I know a lot of you are boiling. So the floor is open. Try not to jump on each other's toes. And anybody like to speak, you're more welcome to speak. Let's try 516 first. He's been real quiet. 516, you want to say anything?
Okay. I just had a little bit to say, just a little bit. All I wanted to say was one of the things you have to look at when it comes close to election time, you have to watch who the mayor puts around him. And with the low turnout rate and with people actually, like you say, losing their houses so they lose the vote if they leave the city. So who are the people that's voting for him, like, besides the illegals? And one of the things that's still happening is you have to get to the church. You have to get to the clergy because he keep all of the preachers and pastors around him. But because the churches are broke, they selling out just to pay their gas bills. So they'll take crumbs. That's how they deal with Ronner. Ronner had them all begging for cheese. So that's how they did Ronner. So the thing with that is that's one of the things you have to look at, who he surround himself with. If we don't get out here and talk to the residents ourselves and just gauge them, let's gauge them. Like, well, what do you think about the mayor, or what do you think about some of the things that he's doing? Do you want him out? And maybe we have to get him to the polls, because evidently he, with the low turnout rate, and he's winning with 39% or 30-40% of the vote. How is he winning like that? And he's and with a dissatisfaction, nobody likes him no more. So how is he winning? So that's my one more thing. One thing about Smoke, for him saying that, let's call him on it. Show us all these people that you got to work, and then we can see all them vehicles from out of town with the Wisconsin, Indiana plates. Call him on it. Show us the people you put to work. That's my comment.
That's the unions. The unions abandon their members. And if the currents would call their locals and say, you know, I'm thinking about retiring next year. What do I have to do to get my pension, and how long before, and so forth and so on? I guarantee you they don't have an answer. They're going to get back to you, and they don't know shit. And what's keeping them going, keeping them driving them cars, keeping them with a credit card from the union, keeping them throwing those $100,000 parties, is the members' dues. They're doing it off the dues of the members' backs. So that money that they take out of your check for union dues, they're spending it however the hell they want to spend it. They don't care about the members either. Otherwise, I'll never forget 12/23/2015. The lawyer for 1001 stood up in open court in Judge Cohen's courtroom and said, our union does not support the retiree's position. But they took their money all them years for dues.
He also lied on this tape, or whatever you want to call it. He sounds like he's a preacher, you know, coming down from the skies and praise be the Lord and this and that. That's what he sounds like. And he's also a bullshitter. He said, so you will have your pensions? He doesn't tell you that he signed our COLA away, even though they weren't supposed to represent us. By their own mouth, they even said it, that they don't represent
us. That's right.
But mm-hmm. He signed it away. They also signed away our health care. Now, what you're talking about, they're going to try to steal your health care. For 3 years, we've been saying it on our site. Currents, wake up. Almost every day, I'm telling the currents, wake up. Today, I had an argument on the street with a forestry crew. And the funny part was, I had one asshole telling me, it's because of people like me, they're not going to have a future. And I told him, I says, you got to be stupid. And it got loud and it got naughty. I don't know if somebody called the cops or what. The cops come up. And the funny thing was, they come up to me. They go, Pasquale, is everything okay? And I'm like, huh? And I didn't think of it. I had my Cadillac with my plates. The cops love those plates. So I'm standing there and I'm laughing. It dawned on me what the hell's going on. I said, oh, thanks, guys. No, everything's okay. I'm going to leave, though. I says, I'm tired of arguing with this idiot. But he had nerve enough to blame everything on the retirees. He didn't sit there and say, hey, thank you for including us in the lawsuits and going to bat for us. He blamed us. They blame people like this. This guy's beating his chest that he's got 2,000 employees in the union. I bet you we had 10,000 at one time, because the Labor's Union was the biggest union in the city and the most powerful.
Yes, we were.
That's right. That's right. And that's the truth. And they're blaming us. Now, if a city worker's blaming us for losing everything or whatever they think is going to happen, can you imagine what the general public thinks?
Well, you know, that's surprising.
because when I talk to my neighbors, they know he's full of shit. Okay? They don't, I was talking to my neighbor about the tax bill with the retiree, and she's really pissed off because she said, now he's trying to play a mind game with us. Okay? You know, it just happens that I pick my neighbor's garbage up for the bigger part of my career. So I live in the neighborhood that I work in. So she saw me from the time I started. She saw me work 7 months pregnant, dumping cans. She saw me carry my child. She saw me work. So she knows it's full of shit. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And I was surprised that a lot of my neighbors understand that he's full of shit. Okay, that this is just a ploy. Because they know they next. You know, I live in a neighborhood on a block with a lot of retirees, too. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So they can explain to their family. And I'm really surprised that a lot of people realize that he's full of shit. Now, on the smoke situation, I've been knowing him more than 25 years. I never could understand how people drank the Kool-Aid with Jim Jones, but I understand after hearing that video, it's easy. They drinking the Kool-Aid, okay? And I'm to the point where I can't keep waiting for other people to catch on or for them to get for it to happen to them before they figure it out. I have to get a plan with whatever 6 or 7 people that I know to move forward. Okay. I'd rather move forward with a group of people that's going forward than to keep pleading for somebody else to wake up. Okay. You want to stay asleep? Just stay there. Okay. But I have to protect myself now because it's like nobody wants to wake up. It's not just the job. It's the public. It's like the whole American, like somebody blow some dust. I don't know, they done flew some shit around, and we just all sleep. Okay. You know, if people not outraged about the killing. You know, there was a time in the 80s when I first came down here, when I first moved to Chicago, if City Hall did anything that neighborhoods didn't like, it'd be 5 busloads of people downtown the next morning. Okay.
Right.
Now,
that's right.
Okay, and I don't care what neighborhood. 6th Ward, the 23rd Ward, the 15th Ward, it didn't matter. Buses be downtown in the morning. Okay, now you can't get 5 people to go downtown. So, you know, I can't keep waiting for other people. I got to go ahead on. You know, if they don't want to wake up, then just stay asleep, and whatever happens, just happens. I got a family, I got the next generation to look out for. I don't have time to keep screaming over there at you until you wake up.
Joe, hey, Dan, you kind of quiet. Joe and Dan, you got something to say?
Sure, I do, Reg.
Go for it, Dan.
On a lighter note, I just want to say the Skyway sold in 2015. Daly sold the lease for 99 years for $1.8 billion. It sold in last year for $2.8 billion. So that $1 billion could have gone in our pension fund. And guess who bought it? Canadian pension funds bought that. So why isn't our pension fund investing on sweet deals like that? Why are we investing in hedge funds? Why are we investing in leverage buyout, real estate deals for Daly's nephew? You know, why? It's like our pension fund doesn't want to succeed. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
Because our investments, they won't reveal our investments. They're hidden. You have to go online to get the companies, but it's a big secret. Now, if Canadian pension funds can come in our country and buy up our leases and make money on them, why can't our own pension funds do that? So, again, this is basically a human rights issue. The city doesn't want to treat its workers with any human rights. Really obvious in streets of sanitation, as you know, Rich.
We need to be sanctuary individuals then. Then maybe we'll get some help. Because I don't know if anybody remembers that Bill Daly sits on the board of Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The very ones that screwed us and raised our rates so high that you got the commercial where the people are sitting at the table, the couple sitting at the table deciding whether they're going to buy medicine or buy food. That's not a that's a commercial. People think it's a joke. It ain't a joke. That's for real. That's for real.
Oh.
And like somebody said, don't make no difference what color you are. You know what? My mother had a saying in Sicilian a long time ago. You don't ask the color of the skin if you need a transfusion. All you got to worry about is the color red. Make sure the blood is red. That's all. That's the only color you've got to worry about. And everybody's got to get together. Not, you know, it used to be city neighborhoods. Okay, it's not neighborhoods anymore. It's us against them. So why can't we get together? We're all being screwed.
You know, one thing I noticed, not to cut in on you, one thing I noticed is when we saw the pictures with the garbage trucks where it had the arm on it and they was working all out, working the tweaks and all of that out of it, I posted another piece on Facebook, and they showing you where they got this machine. It picks a tree up out the ground, I swear, in like 2 seconds.
I saw it.
It cuts the whole tree. It cuts a whole tree in about 12 seconds. So while forestry won't back us or they stay out of the fight, just like our jobs at Jeopardy and our health care at Jeopardy, theirs is, when you seeing this kind of stuff, trust me, the people that need that kind of equipment looking at it too, the city looking at it, and people who use those on their job, so they don't need lumberjacks no more. They don't need these guys to go out and cut these trees no more. I posted it on Facebook. You guys need to take a look at it. Not only are they doing away with the laborers on the truck, they're going to do away with the laborers in forestry also. So just like you say, we have to be one unit. But by smoke, like you say, giving everybody the smoke screen, these other individuals really think that they got a future. They really think that they set and it's etched in stone that they straight. So I guess they might just have to get a rude awakening. They might just have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
a lot of people. Oh, you saw
also,
that, right? How long did it take that machine to cut that tree?
All I could think of was that's about 8 jobs right there. That one thing. It went by so fast. It snatched the whole tree off the ground. It shaved it. I cut it all. It was moving. I was like, oh my God. Is that the future? Okay.
Was that about 5 seconds, right?
Yes.
That was about 5 to 10 seconds,
exactly.
Right?
Yes. Just snatching them up. So if they can take them out, they can put them back in. They have a truck going down the street cutting branches and everything.
It was sort of funny. It was funny, but it was scary at the same time.
You know what it made me think of? One of my favorite movies is corny, but one of my favorite movies is RoboCop. And all I could think of, well, you know, about 10 years from now, don't think of it's crazy when they start having their RoboCop for the police in the future.
Right.
Okay, because they're coming for us. They're coming for all
good
of us.
Lord.
Okay.
And those are the jobs they're bringing back.
They're coming for you.
And those are the jobs they're bringing back. They're bringing the technical jobs back. They're not bringing back the labor jobs. So all these people who go to Trump thinking that he bringing back some jobs, he not bringing those type of jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
No manufacturing. There was a day when you couldn't even get on a bus on Roosevelt Road or in Cicero or any of those places where they had Motorola, Sunbeam, they had the candy company, they had Bunting Candy Company, there was manufacturing. We have no manufacturing now. We don't make shit here. But we'll take everybody else's shit and pay extra for it. My husband bought a pair of Red Wing boots about 10 or 12 years ago, work boots. And he paid $200 for them back then. He took them to Red Wing because they guarantee them and they tell you they'll resole them, reheal them, and everything for $100. So the guy, when he went to the store, the guy says, well, we can't do that. You go look over there. There's a pair of boots just like them. My husband said, those are not like my boots. He said, my sole is stitched on there. That's glued on there. He said, that shit's going to come off. He said, I'm going to pay $100, but you tell Red Wing Minnesota, if they can't give me the boot that I bought from them, in Minnesota, to give me my money back and my boots back.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold them on there, but you have to insist on American made. They're not gonna. You gotta look at the labels. Every label. you have to make sure. And a lot of the companies now are putting made in America on their stuff. And
Joe,
you got to look for more.
You
got to look for a little bit more, and you got to pay a couple pennies more. I'll do it. If it's made here, I'll do it.
I was talking
Joe, you guys
think
you like
today, and I feel like
I've just
I'm
been watching this video of the automated trash truck. There's no who's going to pick up the bulk items? The carts were flopping in the wind. If the carts aren't facing the correct way, the truck can't pick them up. They have to be perfectly lined up. So who's kidding who when they think they're going to go to an automated arm on the garbage truck? Today we had about 4 mattresses, 3 couches. Who's going to pick that up with an automated garbage truck arm when it's only available to pick up a cart that's set in the proper position in the alley? I mean, are these people that think they're threatening people that don't understand how the work is done in this city? They might think they can automate it. They're going to have nothing but problems. How are you going to police a city of 2.7 million people and make sure that they have their garbage carts all pointed the correct way? I mean, why are we picking up, if the cart is contaminated in a private area where waste management is picking up recycling, why do we have to pick it up? Waste management should be sending their own truck to pick up a contaminated cart. This is the problem with privatization. Privatization doesn't work. We've already seen this at the public schools with the janitorial services that have been privatized. They've reduced the number of janitors. They paid out all these millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. And then they didn't even calculate it right, supposedly, and they had to pay extra. This Ghanif, Rahm Emanuel, once again, this is the thieving behavior of the person that's in office right now. And I'm going to say it. People, you have to vote. You have to go out and vote.
Yeah.
With the percentage of people that showed up to vote is deplorable. And also, you have to not believe the lies perpetrated by his – I mean, he has over almost 50 people in his little propaganda machine at City Hall. Why do we have 50 propagandists working for this guy? These people should be out on the street working, doing things. Nobody does things anymore. Nobody makes things. Nobody does the dirty work. And anybody that does the dirty work, they want to hurt and abuse, starting from our governor, now our current president, and our current mayor. Something's got to change. Unions got to get stronger. The people have to get in somehow and vote it in. It's a crying shame what our country has become. It is a terrible crying shame. It is a reality show. It is Jerry Springer show. It's just a crime what our country has become.
Yeah, amen. It is sad. Okay. And, you know, not only that, but they keep the public out of the loop, so to speak. The public doesn't get the information. I told you, those books come out, those budget books come out, doesn't even resemble what's passed at the end of the budget process, because they amend it every day to either take out or put back or eliminate or leave it vacant. So it looks like it's there, but it's not really. They appropriate the money, but they don't spend it on a labor. Now, what I understand they're doing, and I don't know if it's true or not, when I was Sergeant at Arms, we had busloads of people come down. They'd either stand in the hallway or they get as many they could in the chamber, but they got in.
Mm.
And they got to testify what was going on. And it was my job to make sure that everybody behaved themselves, didn't step on anybody, didn't get rowdy, I had a police detail up there that had my back all the time, but they were able to participate. They wanted. But here's the problem. You got somebody from Winnetka or Wilmette or something come in, be an organizer, get a paycheck, rile these people all up, give them $10 and a box lunch, because I got friendly with one of the little old ladies with Acorn, and she told me that's what they did. And so at the end of the evening, she goes back to her house in Winnetka and sits there with a glass of Merlot and says, didn't I do a nice thing for the poor people today? And I had an argument with her. I said, you don't remember me, but I'm going to tell you something. I said, you got all these people here, and you take them, you go home to your house, but you take them back to the same shit that they're trying to change. They're trying to get better housing. They're trying to get better conditions. They're willing to come down and testify at these hearings, and you're just doing it for the money. And that's all they do it for. I can pick you out. If I see a clip, I can pick out the ones that I dealt with that were real bad. That were real bad. One kid was almost born down there, an activist, and he yelling at a police officer about 2 inches from his face. I wouldn't be able to stand there like that. I mean, I don't know how they do it, how they maintain their decorum, but they're abusing the police. But who do they? Listen, if you don't like the police, call a thug when you got problems. That's what you do. Call a thug. But now they come down and they don't get a chance to talk because they fill the seats in the council chamber. If there's a controversial issue come up with city employees, they tell so many from this department, so many from that department, at 10 o'clock, before 10 o'clock, you come down and you put your ass in one of those seats. And that means that the public, it's full. They have to tell them it's full. Nobody can come in because you can't stand in there. So that's what they're doing. They're stacking the deck so the public doesn't know, can't hear the testimony, doesn't get any information, or they get it from the biased media. That's how they get it.
Yeah, I pretty much don't have no use for the news myself. Okay, you know, especially working for the city. And you know the true story of what's going on, and then you see them report some shit, and you're like, well, where did they get that story from? You know, I knew more that was going on in City Hall than the media at some point, so I don't really buy into them no more. Okay, they got to get their license from the city too, so, you know, they don't write the right story, then they don't get their license approved. So everybody's in it, you know, everybody get their cut, and they don't give a shit about the poor man. Okay. Poor man
no,
on his
sure
own.
Don't. They use
just like
the
you say on election day, give him a chicken, a basket, and make him feel happy and go ahead on long. Okay. Tomorrow, pull the rug out from him while he's sleeping.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And
that's
you know, I
want to
say this. I want to say last week, if I'm not mistaken, Pat can correct me, usually do. Pat broke down all the scales from a single person, a married person with children. If I'm not mistaken, I remember one of them was like $42,000. Now, the average laborer brags about making $79,000 or $80,000. Your pay is about to be cut in half. So all them big, beautiful cars, a car note, repo, home, eviction, girlfriend, boyfriend, everything's going to change for you. So if Pat want to, you know, if he still got the numbers, he want to throw them out, that'd be nice, but it's an open forum. Joe, Dan, you know, voice your opinions. You know, you've been there. You've seen it. You know how they treat us. They got a new thing they call Grit System 2.0. It's almost like a Mustang, but it's missing some engine RPIs. So it just is sad. So if anybody wants to say anything, you're more welcome to speak.
All right.
Yeah, Reggie.
Single premium, I'm just going to quote for the year. For a single person with this Billy Daly Blue Cross Blue Shield that came to our rescue, this is the prices in 2017. Every year this goes up drastically. Single person, $17,592 a year. A couple, $31,320 a year. A family plan, $43,464. And do you know what your friggin' so-called mayor pays? He pays $200 a month, $2,400 a year for a family plan.
So either go somewhere and die. That's what they tell us. Go somewhere and die. Or either move in the
house.
That's
what they're trying to figure out. They want you to die.
That's what they want
to
do.
Go somewhere
and
die. Yeah.
Yep. Can you imagine labor? Can you imagine labor for streets and sanitation at the and they raise the retirement age? You got to work until you're 67. Can you imagine somebody slip sliding down the alley, trying to maintain their balance, trying at 67 years old? That's and lowering the pay to $19.50 an hour.
That's unreal.
That's more than
see,
a shame.
Even with that passing,
that's criminal.
We couldn't get the labor to come. We couldn't get the labor to come out or come against that. And you know this going. I'm telling them at the time, this is going to affect you. It's not going to affect me because I'm gone. Okay, but 67 is harsh. Okay, for anybody.
Yeah, it
is. To be out there in that bad weather. Okay, it's just I don't know. Okay, I don't know what's wrong with people today. It's just the world we live in.
Now remember this term, fitness for duty. If you're 67 and you cannot lift 100 pounds and walk 50 feet and come back and walk 50 more feet, you're not fit for duty. And you don't go on DD, you go home. Dan, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I do, Reg. thanks. This 2.0 grid sounds really another oil agreement by the union, you know, the screwed laborers. You know, it's just getting unfathomable here. But like you were saying earlier, these laborers are proud they're making 75 plus. That's with overtime. That's with all their overtime. When you retire, it's 80%. That's if you have the time 33 years. If you retire with less than 33 years, you don't get 80%. It's prorated on your years. So figure most of these guys, they're not going to work 33 years on a grid system. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you that right now. It is not going to happen. Superman couldn't do it. Tell me. So figure you get 20 years in, 25 tops. Okay. So you get 25 times 2.4. That's 51%. So 51% of your pay before taxes of what you're making now, and that's based on a 2,000 hours annually a year. So 51% of that. Now take out taxes. Now take out your health care. You know what you're getting up with? About $500 a month. So these guys better wake up that are working. You know, they're living high now. That's all going to change. It's going to change unless they wake up.
Yeah, I don't know what – and I can't – I keep preaching for them to call their locals. Just call your local and find out. What are you afraid of? You're a member. You're paying dues. Why can't you pick up the phone and call your local and ask, what are my benefits going to be if I retire next year? What if I – you're entitled to ask those questions because you are a dues-paying member of that local, and 31 locals abandoned their membership. My husband was a 1001 guy before he took the test and made 130. You know, he's a plumber. My son's a plumber, but he works in private industry. Why can't they call their local? Why can't they? They're paying for the cars, for the offices, for everything out of their dues. Why can't you just pick up the phone and make an inquiry? And if enough people do that, these union leaders are going to say, hey, wait a minute, what the hell's going on? Why are all these guys all of a sudden calling wanting to know? Why are all these people calling wanting to know what their benefits are going to be? Because they don't have an answer. Because they don't negotiate for the retirees, they say. and they're negotiating for the currents right now, that I wouldn't trust them to negotiate walking across the street because they're a bunch of bank stabbers. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah, divide and conquer.
Here's the thing with the unions, too. I mean, I'm a retiree. They kept me on the fucking phone for over an hour and bullshitted me. 36 years of being with 1001 since the year of 1967. 18 years as a G-man. 9 years as a foreman. 9 years as a district supervisor in street operations. And they had the nerve to bullshit me for over an hour. They're not going to give you the answer. They're not going to tell you anything. You know what? Talk is over. It's time for fucking action. The same thing with the city about cleaning up these neighborhoods. Every neighborhood has to be clean. I argued with a woman the other last night, in fact. We were arguing back and forth. She's not ready for martial law. She doesn't want martial law. I told her, then what do you want to do? Do you want to bake cookies and give this to the shitheads all across the city, and they're going to lay down their weapons? Even if they did lay down their weapons, they're not going to turn them in. So we got this to look forward. Everything has to be cleaned up. If we got to suffer with martial law, then we suffer with martial law. I used to get stopped all the time. You know, it's nothing new. I'm willing to go with it. And she's telling me she doesn't want to give up her freedom. Well, God damn it, let it be one of your grandchildren laying in the street. Then we'll see how the tune changes.
Oh, God forbid.
I'm pissed.
516,
I know, I felt
so.
The same way. Yeah, I felt the same way this morning when I heard about those two little girls getting shot. And, you know, they give you bits and pieces of the news at a time because they don't know what's going on either because nobody's talking to them. But once I found out what had happened, and it was 7:30 at night, and the little girl was with her mother running errands, and I'm thinking, you can't, where in the hell can you go? You can't go anywhere. 16th District, Jefferson Park, a 17-year-old kid shot in the alley. Now, what was he doing in the alley at 9:30 at night? Who the hell knows? But does he deserve to be shot in the 16th District? Everybody's saying how nice Jefferson Park is, how good the area is and all that. Oh, yeah? It's happening in every neighborhood and everybody's backyard. And they got their nose glued to the computer or they got their nose glued to YouTube or something like that. That because they don't associate with each other. Years ago, we knew our neighbors. We knew who they were.
516, you want to say something?
Has anybody been over to Cabrini Green lately?
No.
No.
I know that's the best. Do anybody
remember what Cabrini Green looked like before the change?
516.
Yes, before the change.
516. It's my old hood. I was brought up four blocks away from there, but
okay.
That was in the 50s. We moved out in the 60s. But I worked around there all the time too.
I managed the Church of Chickens on Division in Orleans.
I know
and
the place.
I remember when it was surrounded by just total chaos. It had projects, and every week you hear the same thing that you hearing in Englewood. So if nobody's looking at the big picture, they let this kind of activity happen so people would take flight, not just black flight. Anybody living in those surrounding areas is going to get up and go. The property over there is dirt cheap. You can get a piece of crap over there for $10,000 now. But what the deal is once we run everybody up out of here, you won't be able to purchase nothing over here. Everything's over there. The property now in Cabrini Green, there's nothing over there under $300,000.
The history on Cabrini Green The history back on Cabrini Green goes further back than the high rises. It was known as, I think it was Little Hell or something like that. That was the ghetto for the Italians.
Yeah, I was reading about that. Yeah.
Right.
The
and they knocked it all down. They built Cabrini Green for the servicemen returning from the service, and that lasted a few years. And then, you know, little by little, it started going to hell. So, you know, I just lit out on the page, on the Facebook page, you know, my experience there. And I don't want to repeat it, but it wasn't too nice. And it involved a little girl that was murdered. But to this day, I don't know if the bullet was meant for me because she was close to me or, you know, it was just a wild shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I get so fucking pissed when I see this happen to the kids.
Mm.
Yeah, I moved here in the 80s, too. And I moved here from New York in the 80s. And rough as New York was, Cabrini Green wasn't like nothing I'd ever seen in my life. And I remember telling a friend of mine, if I was homeless, I'd sleep under the bridge before I stayed at Cabrini Green. Okay. And when they tore it down, now you have these people that been packed in this certain area for 20, 30 years with this one kind of mentality. And then, you know, then you just send them everywhere with no skills or how to live with other people, and that's our city fucked up. Because they wanted them 70 acres of primetime land downtown. Just like when he wanted to... helipad where that damn bean thing is, where the helicopters used to go at. You know, the little airport we had downtown that they tore up overnight.
Makesfield, yeah. In the middle of the night, they tore it up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I went over time so that we can keep the discussion going for a little while. We have roughly 14 minutes and I usually go up and down the board and ask people their input, and this has been a very good discussion, and I usually keep Pat for last. I have Christine Butler going after Pat. I'm going to have Dan, and then he's next to Christine, then I'll go 516, and then 220. So you got a couple of minutes. Anything you'd like to say to share with us on your way out the door? We got 14 minutes. Take a couple of minutes. Anything you'd like to say? 516.
What it appears to me is that they're trying to turn this city into a city for the wealthy. This city won't be for the poor. They're trying to turn this city like a California almost. And if you look at it, that's one of the things, that's one of the ways that they're doing it. This crime, they letting it happen because they can prevent the crime, they can stop the crime. You ever seen a dope location where a cat was making $15,000 a day and they'll come shut it down in one day, but you telling me you can't stop the shooting, nor do you find the people who shot these people. So you telling me with all the technology we got, we can't stop none of this intentionally done. That's my thoughts.
And I do believe in population control. So yeah. 516... Yes, 516, stick around. We're going to hit everybody else and get their closing thoughts. Let's go to 220.
Well, I like to say it's great having a conversation with people that are like-minded. Know that when I'm off this phone, I'm always trying to think of some kind of ways to fight the system. I always think of ways, any kind of way I can fathom to fight the system. And what Calvin says, I totally agree. We are being driven out. We are being, they're trying to drive us out. Okay. Because I'm going kicking and screaming. I just want you to know.
I enjoy having you. I enjoy having you, and I look forward to next Monday having you again. And believe me, it's a certain conscious environment where we're working at 103rd. And they're starting to think about starting a club that we can organize ourselves to help the retirees.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you updated on that. Okay. Let's go to Dan, 569.
Well, it was a very interesting show. Thanks for having me on. And I hope members that are listening got some valuable information, because what's coming from Rahm Emanuel and Bruce Runner, it doesn't look good. So I hope to see you all next week also.
All right, Darren, real quick, can you give us – I know you attended the Alderman's meeting. Was it a good one, a bad one, okay, or how was it?
Well, I went to Alderman Arena in the 45th just to volunteer to he had a zoning meeting, and somebody sent in people from outside the ward to disrupt the meeting, and there's about 20 cops called. They had to bring order to the presentation. But he was had a presentation on the rezoning on Northwest Highway. You know, people are for it, people are against it, but at least he had a meeting. My alderman never had a meeting in his life in 32 years about zoning. He just does what he wants. So, you know, people that are against the zoning, I understand it, but he had it in a civil forum, and I applaud him for that. And I just know in my ward, O'Connor's ward, where I've lived most of my life, he's never, ever had a zoning meeting. He rules from top down like Rahm Emanuel and Bruce Runner. So that's what I was doing, and it was interesting.
All right. I appreciate you sharing that with us. We got two more, then we're going to say our goodbyes. But let's go to 865. That would be Christine.
Hi. We need to wake up, smell the coffee, get everybody you know involved. Get everybody to tell everybody they know about this mayor we have. He's rotten to the core, and he is going to press to screw us all even more than he already has. It's not going to stop. You just got a sample of what's going to happen.
I appreciate you, 865, and I hope we can get your attendance next Monday. We do a little thing when the show real good. We go overtime and just keep it going. So thank you for attending, and tell a friend. Tell a friend so we can grow as a family. Christine Butler, I'm sorry, you're a 220. So go ahead, Christine.
No, I'm 773-93.
Right, that's your error call. I just say the first three. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, there, I got somewhere else to go. I'm sorry about that, Christine.
No, it's just Tina, it's fine. But it's good to know that you have this forum. We should all appreciate you a real lot, because you and Pasquale have a forum to spread the word. Now, if one person tells 10 people that they know, and those 10 people tell 10 people, that's how we used to calculate how we were going to do everything. And if this becomes a wealthy city, it's going to become shitty because there won't be any poor people to clean it up. So the wealthy people have to get their ass out on the street and sweep and broom like we used to do years ago. You go in front of your house, you clean in front of your house, you wash the sidewalk off, you do all that stuff, and get to know your neighbor. Say hello to them when you see them. Say hi to them. You think they might have a problem with some groceries, give them a hand. The point is, get to know the people that you live around. Because they're important too. 39% turnout. Never in the history of the city of Chicago did 39% of the registered voters. Can you imagine 61% staying home? Stayed home.
I totally agree, Ms. Butler. And on a note that 516 said, I grew up in a project, Albie Webbs, and project to me was totally a project. It was a project of seeing how can you put a bunch of people in one area and see the reaction. And I remember growing up that my parents used to clean the floors, the cement floors by the gate. Everything was clean. And as the younger people moved in, it started going down. So eventually we had to move out of Ivy Webs. But it was beautiful at the time. That was like on 38, 33 Cottage Grove, right off Cottage Grove. It was a beautiful area. So let's go to Pasquale. Pasquale, you'd like to say something closing us out?
Yeah, Reg. I don't know. Everybody could hate me if they want. I'm going to mention Obama. When Obama came in, I had the pride just from watching the people in Grant Park, the pride in their face that he made president. They were a down-to-earth family in that White House. Trump, I can't stand anything about him. The only thing I like about him is that certain things he claims he's going to do. So, but with Obama, the slap in the face he gave all those people in Grant Park when he came, well, first, that little girl that was murdered that sang at his inauguration, it was no big deal. What was her name? Anita Pendleton or something like that? It was no big deal. I mean, a few words were said, and that was it. Now, he comes back to Chicago. You know he knows what's going on in the city. He hears all the shit going on. He reads all the papers every morning. He goes to Pullman, and he backs Tutu at Pullman. And Pullman was nothing but a low-wage slave place, you could say. They paid low wages where the company owed everything. They had the store, the housing. You had to pay the company all their money right back. So that was bullshit for him to do that. When he did that, I lost all respect. The second respect I lost is with all these murders going on in the city, Tutu, he probably asked Tutu, what can I do for you before I leave office? Tutu tells him, give me $1.1 million so I could knock off 8 minutes off this choo-choo line for the commuters. Nothing about the kids getting killed in the street. Nothing about him shortchanging the Chicago Police Department for 6 years. Nothing at all to improve anything. And Obama gave him this money. And then on top of it, it's matching funds. I don't know how much we got to match, but this asshole's going to turn around and make more loans. Now he announces another choo-choo to O'Hara. This guy is out of his goddamn mind. We need everybody to write the White House. You could write Trump. I don't care if you don't like him or what, but write him. The more letters we sent to him, this guy needs to be locked up. We have the American dream. We are the Americans. We want our city back, and we want this asshole gone.
Well said. Last caller, you called in late. I'm going to let you say anything you like to say. After you say anything, if anybody want to have anything to say, we got like 4 minutes. You're welcome to say it. So I'll go by your first three. Not your error code, 921. Would you like to say anything?
Yes. I'd like to say something, and I don't want to get on the top of the politics. So I don't get into it. I want to get back on the politics of 1001. There's a situation now going on where they already signed off where laborers don't know that they should be in a predicament as far as calling off, going to work, taking SNs, ANs, and things like that. I'm in a situation right now where I'm on a leave of absence without pay. They telling me I'm AWOL. I got all my documentation and everything. But I just want you to know the type of union we got.
Now, from my understanding, I'm going to go at least 5 more minutes with this. But from my understanding, Local 1001 and the City of Chicago changed the work rules for laborers September of 2014.
And
am I correct?
And you are that. Yes, you are. Because I know it.
Now, when they signed that, that's when the fitness for duty came in. Now they're negotiating the random drug testing and everything else. So the city don't have to tell a laborer about the rule change. It's the union job to notify the membership. Am I correct?
That's
You're
right.
Correct. But I got a few things to say to you, and I'm going to leave it alone because I know you got to get off the air. First of all, if anything happens to you at work, you're not mandated to go to Mercy Works. Two,
if anything happened to you offset on the job, in your personal, say if you Bobby Seale, you trip off the step or whatever, if you get hurt and you file your FMLA papers, they have to grant it. They're not telling laborers that. And three, and most of all, a lot of laborers is not trying to vote against stuff because of the salary they make. They scared. And the reason they scared is because of what they make. If you ever go back through the rules, what is your, what do you have to do to have requirements to get with the city? GED, high school diploma. 9 out of 10. Ain't nobody never saw no money like that at $35 an hour. So if you think they gonna support you, if you think they gonna bag you up or whatever, it's not gonna happen. And that's the problem with the union and with the city and with the labor. And I ended
well
on
said.
That note.
Well said. Anybody like to say anything on the way out the door? Okay. I just want to say everybody. Oh, hold on. Go ahead. Whoever want to say something, say something.
No, I just hope that all the people that are, I appreciate being able to participate. I want to thank you, Reg. I want to thank you, Pasquale. Everybody that's on the air, we're all like-minded. Like one lady said, we're all like-minded. But if we tell 10 people and those 10 people tell 10 more people, and get to know your neighbors, because you can point out stuff in your neighborhood that should be done by the city of Chicago, and it's being privatized. And what they want to do is get a driver to get his ass out of the truck, hook up the garbage can, and have that automatic arm loaded into it. They want to do away with the laborers. They want to do away with the Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And they succeeded because everybody had to go somewhere else because they couldn't afford I couldn't afford $1,466 a month for health insurance. And I take a lot of medication and insulin. And so what do? You got to choose between buying something that you really need or paying your insurance premium. $1,466 a month. That's criminal.
516, I'm going to give you the last say-so before I play the going out song. You have anything to say?
Yeah, I was watching how everybody flocked around Nikki and all them guys when they showed up. And I was like, these the same people that was crying and screaming last week about how bad they being treated. Now the whole district, 60% of them is dissatisfied. But what's gonna tell is who show up at that meeting this week. So like I say, look, why y'all waste y'all time listening to that garbage? They're about them crying and screaming. I say, cause they not gonna show up. They could cry and scream among each other right here. And when it's time for that meeting on Thursday, you might get four of them at the, how many there? 200 of them there. 200 individuals there all together.
Yep, well said.
You might get four.
And I'm gonna
you might
say,
get four.
I'm gonna say this. Anytime a person came and come to your hearing and you can accept a bag and you done took 5 days off, something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
Pasquale gave me a song. And I listen to the song sometimes when I get kind of upset. And if you want to listen to the song, because I always listen to the song before I close the show out. And I used to have changes going to come. And that meant something to us, and we made change. The question is, we got to make change again. So this is the new song that I like to play. I play it before I end, before I start and then when I end. So if anybody like to listen to the song, and after that, I'm going to turn it off.
Hey, Red.
Check it out. Yeah. I'm listening.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey. I'm just trying to piggyback off bullshit. Excuse my language. I got rolled up for 3 minutes being over lunch. Anybody work with the city of Chicago knows. You're going to be 3-5 minutes over lunch. They gave me 5 days for it.
Oh, my God.
And it was bogus. But guess what? I got 7 minutes wrote up for being over a break. My whole total came out to 12 days. I had a 12-day suspension. And anybody know my voice, they know who's talking.
Hey, wow.
That shit crazy.
But we could change it.
I ain't scared of the money. I'm about the purpose. Do shit that's right. Do it the right way. But until you get people behind you that ain't scared to lose that money, this shit gonna stay the way it is. That's just me.
I totally agree. And you know what? After this revolution, son, come off, give me a call later and let's talk more. But this is my son. It's
hey,
me
man,
and Pat, son.
And next time,
yeah.
And next time I call you, I'm gonna curse your ass out.
tell me off the air.
Hey, you've been waiting too long to put the revolution song on.
Hey, I just got it from Pat. Pat just gave it to
you
like a couple of months ago. So let me play this song.
Hey, let me tell you something. You can't bullshit. All
right. Now, you know what? Call me after the show and we'll talk. And look, if anybody need my personal number, you're welcome to have it because I'm not scared. My personal number is 312-871-8331. That's my personal number. It's a 24-hour line. You can call me anytime. 312-871-8331. Yes, sir.
I'm going to reiterate
yeah.
this again.
Reggie, let him call
hey,
you.
Not,
let him
hey,
call you.
I'm not prejudiced. I don't give no fuck if you green, blue, or black, Hispanic, white, Irish. I don't give no shit. I'm telling you, your biggest problem is the money. You fighting the money. Every person ain't ever saw $35 an hour in their life at any job.
Hey, we start at 5 o'clock, so I'm going to let these people go because we've been on the show an hour and a plus.
Hey,
we do an overtime with the show real good. So
no,
I'm going to play this.
Basically telling me, fuck me, and go ahead. Cool.
No, listen to me. Call me.
I love you, man.
Hey, listen, man, call me. We got less than 15 minutes. I'm going to play this Revolution
hey,
song,
man,
and I'm going to call you.
I just pulled in the driveway. I love you. Everybody been on air. I love your comments, what you said. You fight the money, man. Get that
I got you.
Head. You fight the money.
I got you. Call me after the show.
Don't you know how talking about a revolution sounds?
Like a whisper.
While they're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Who are people gonna rise up? Get their share. Who are people gonna rise up and take what's there? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. Cause finally the tables. about a revolution. Ooh, I've been standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of the armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution.
Thank you guys, and I'll see you next Monday.